Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Dream, Build, Repeat podcast. My name is Casey Sharperson, brand strategist, speaker, and host of this amazing podcast, Dream, Build, Repeat. I'm also a brand new author of the book, Dream, Build, Repeat, Harness Fear to Confidently Pursue Your Biggest Dreams. You can absolutely grab your copy on my website, caseysharperson.com. as well as Amazon. So I'm really excited to get into today's topic. I'm excited also to have a guest, and I'll get more into that. But today we're going to be talking about mental health and what mental health looks like, especially in this time. If you're listening to this very close to the recording right now, coronavirus and COVID-19 is everywhere. We are in a quarantine. So I thought it was so important for us to talk about what mental health looks like, not only right now, but take these tools that we learn and take them into other aspects of our lives. So I could not think of anyone better to bring on as a guest than my friend, Rudy Coleman. So we're going to be talking about mental health, life, possibly some relationship stuff. So everything related to mental health. So I'm going to go ahead and read you a little bit about her bio, and then we'll get into the conversation. So Rudy is originally from Florida, but she lives in Georgia. She's obsessed with Jesus, soft-baked sugar cookies, lavender kombucha, and chatting with her girlfriends over yummy food for hours at a time. Now, I have to pause here and say that legitimately, this is why Rudy and I connected. I am a huge fan of kombucha. For those of you that follow me on Instagram, I'm always talking about it. And cookies and chatting and eating, like all the things that I love. Other aspects of her bio, she says that she's incredibly passionate about everyone living a life according to the calling God has placed on them. And she is just an incredible woman of God. And she's also a licensed clinical social worker with an additional master's degree in Christian psychological studies. So she leads women's ministries at church. She travels around the world spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. But also, she actually has just come back, and I'm super excited to talk about this too. She's just come back from a retreat where she hosted women, and they did self-care, and they talked all about mental health and learned incredible things there. So she hosts mental health, spiritual retreats in exotic locations. And finally, she says it is not uncommon to find her randomly singing and dancing, and she is always finding the glass half full. So Rudy, welcome.
Thank you. Oh my goodness. Thank you for having me. I love this bio. Like, oh my goodness. I love the way you read it.
I mean, it's fire. It's fire.
You're so sweet.
Yes. I'm really excited to have you. We can do like a quick walk down memory lane about how we met and why we're friends.
Oh my gosh. Absolutely. We cannot like just jump into this conversation without telling people the amazing way that we met, because it's so God. It's so amazing. I love it.
Well, I mean, I feel like you should tell it because you're the guest.
Oh, well, okay. So I met, we met about, oh my goodness, I think November 1st will be 1 year or 2 years. It's been two years.
Yeah.
And we initially had a friend in common. Her name is Juliette Bush, and she does an incredible, I guess it would be called an organization called Brave by Faith Travel. And she just picks destinations all over the world, and she just invites women of the Christian faith to travel with her. So I chose the Israel trip to join, and so did you. And we had no idea who one another was until we got paired together as roommates. And from the moment we actually landed, and I think I landed before you, and got to the hotel room, and you know, you came hours later, and it was just like nothing I'd ever seen before. The way we connected, the way we just laughed and joked, it was an incredible experience, because hello, it's Israel. And that experience alone was just life changing. But God just added something additional when He allowed me to encounter you, really, because although that was an amazing trip, just the conversations that we had and how we connected both on a spiritual level, but also just mentally, and all these things that we had in common, and just talking until 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. It was everything. So that's why you will forever be known as my roomie. I always call you that. So it's weird to say Casey. I'm going to try to say Casey throughout this podcast, but it's probably not going to work. Yeah, we'll forever be roomies.
Yeah, roomie, Rudy. It's just like, I'm so glad. Yeah. And I love it because also you baptized me in the Jordan River. Like,
yes!
It was beautiful, a beautiful experience. Yeah. I loved it. Yeah. It was a whole mood, as the young folks say.
Right. Hello. Oh my goodness. Can we say that, young folks? Is we're young, but yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
There's a whole TikTok generation that's like, what is happening on the internet? I don't even know.
You're right. And I am not a part of that TikTok generation. So you're right. Yeah, absolutely.
I love it. Well, thank you for recounting our amazing moments.
I love our story. Yeah. Yes. Who can say they actually flew to Israel and met like this amazing sister, and you know, years later they're still in contact. That was nothing but God. So
I know
that's a great story. God is so amazing,
so faithful. I love it. Okay, so we've already like kicked off the conversation. We've talked about God a few times already, so yes, Let's just dive right on in and talk about, you are a mental health professional, you are a counselor. Mm-hmm. So let's just talk about can we come out the gate with mental health in the church?
Absolutely. Please. Like, oh my gosh.
What does that look like? Because I know, especially in different communities, mental health has a stigma. It's got, and also mental health means a lot of things to a lot of different people. So if you could just talk about, one, defining mental health for us, and then two, talk about, you know, is the approach to mental health different for somebody who believes in God versus, you know, anybody else?
Right. Absolutely. So I love how you said, let's just talk about it out the gate. There is a stigma. And I think it depends on what the conversation is surrounded by. So first off, when people say mental health, I think it still somewhat has a negative connotation. Let's be clear. We all have a mental health. We all have a brain. We all have health, whether it's health, you know, healthy in a positive way or a negative way. But to say things like, you know, I'm not mental health, or I don't have any mental health issues. All of us struggle mentally at one point or another. I think the media and society sometimes, you know, with movies and just pop culture in general, we dramatize it a lot. And just for the sake of entertainment, we have to put a spin on it, or the media puts a spin on it. And generally that spin isn't always the greatest. It's something like, oh, well, I'm quote unquote, this person is quote unquote crazy, or they're just acting outside of social norms. So I think with just that being bombarded and put in our faces on a day-to-day basis, we all approach mental health as something, well, we have in the past approached mental health as something that is wrong, or something that, oh no, that's not something that I struggle with. No sister, no brother. If you have a brain and if you are fully functioning as a human being, you have mentation, and there's a health component to it. So in regards to your question of mental health in the church, I love how I believe a lot of churches are definitely bringing it to the forefront. Different stories in the past year or so definitely come to mind. And unfortunately, it usually takes something unfortunate, a crisis or a trauma, to really start talking about this. But I know, I think it was about this time last year when there were several pastors that were, you know, coming out and talking about, I've been dealing with depression. There were a couple pastors in the news, God bless them and their families, that were dealing with suicidal thoughts, or those pastors who had actually committed the act of suicide. And I think with those stories being sensationalized, it's definitely come to a forefront. Some, I won't say all, some churches I think have been extremely responsible in having that transparent conversation, and others, you know, that's not for me to judge. But as far as mental health in the church is concerned, as long as that conversation of transparency is being talked about in a healthy way with people present that have the education, have the experience to lead that conversation, I think that that is the most important thing. And when it's led around that, as of course, with the Holy Spirit and God's presence being the ultimate director, that in many cases has been a beautiful thing that I've been experiencing and witnessing throughout the church. When you say, is it different as far as Christianity is concerned, or, you know, maybe an unbeliever? I believe so, because it's all about perspective. It's all about meeting that person or that individual where they are. So yes, I clearly am a Christian, but I have a private practice where I practice Christian counseling, but I also work in the secular world where I'm not as upfront about, well, let's pray or let's read scripture. What do you think the Lord is saying? What do you think the Holy Spirit is guiding or leading you to in this juncture? So it's definitely different, but the approaches for the most part are fairly or overall the same, where we're talking about what are you specifically going through? What are those impairments? What are those symptoms? If it's something as far as a mental health condition is concerned, an actual diagnosis, versus no, it's just a regular stressor and I'm needing some help. So I think there's a difference, but overall it's that place of transparency and vulnerability that that person who is on the other end of the desk, the couch, the whatever, is able to just talk about what their experiences have been and how it's impacted their insight, foresight, thoughts, behaviors, things of that nature. So that was super long-winded, but that is my answers, basically. Those are really good questions for Rumi. They really are.
Yeah, I love what you talked about. One, saying, of course, the perspective is a little bit different, whether, you know, you believe in God or a God or not. But there's still like these core principles that everyone can take away from. But again, your approach in your private practice is a little bit different, or probably a lot different than your approach mm-hmm. in like working in a hospital. Right. So my next question, you mentioned that people, you know, if you're able to talk about your experiences and a stressor and all of that, who do you recommend for counseling? Like, who is the ideal person to get counseling?
Sure. So if you're living, if you're breathing, if you're able to articulate what you're thinking about, what you're feeling, those emotions, then you are a prime candidate for counseling. And I know that sounds super cliche, but it's the truth. I have seen everything. Well, I shouldn't say everything, but I've seen things all the way up to, you know, people who are literally experiencing psychosis, meaning I am in an altered state of mind to where I am hearing voices or I'm seeing things. I've seen those people who need what's called intense psychological treatment. And I've seen those people who are just like, you know what? There's nothing particularly wrong with me. I just want an unbiased person who is educated in the area of psychotherapy to kind of walk me through life. So it doesn't have to be how the media, movies, different television shows portray counseling as. It is, I am in some traumatic or horrible position in my life. I need counseling. Yes, that person absolutely needs counseling. You need someone other than best friend, mama, auntie, even pastor. You know, those are all wonderful people and they have their places in our lives, but there is absolutely nothing wrong and something to be said for going to someone who doesn't know you, who is unbiased, who has nothing to gain from whether or not you stick with them or not, that person who is trained to say, have you thought about it like this? Or they can hear your story and say, okay, I hear what you're saying. Let's break that up. Let me walk you through this process. They can pick out the holes, for lack of better words, or the voids that you may not be picking up on, because it's hard to look within. And a lot of times a stranger can do that. So there is no prototype. I say, as long as you can articulate what's going on, and even if you can't, someone can help you with that. But as long as you're a human being who has access, you're a great candidate. Honestly, you really are. I can't tell you the amount of people who have come to me and they're just like, I don't think I have any problems. Life is going pretty great. You don't have to be experiencing a quote unquote problem, crisis, or trauma to go to counseling. As a matter of fact, that's a beautiful time to go to counseling because things are pretty low key. You don't have any major distractions. So you're able to have that person maybe give you some additional coping skills to just going through life, because we all know that life happens. So when you're in a pretty good place, things aren't blowing up, you don't have a quote unquote pressing issue that's hindering you from going on and on throughout your day, still go to counseling. Doesn't have to be every week. Have a little check-in. I call them tune-ups. Like, even when nothing is wrong with our cars, we still go and we get our oil changed. We still go and we get it washed. We want to keep it in good condition. We want to keep that car that's already doing well in a continuous state of doing well. Why can't we think of our bodies and our mental well-being in the same way? So, yeah, everybody, you, like Oprah says, you go to counseling. You go to everybody can go to counseling.
That's hilarious. You get a counseling appointment. You get a counseling.
I'm just saying. It's the truth.
I love that. You know, I have always thought of, well, I guess until more recently when I became more exposed, but I always thought like, okay, you have to go to counseling when everything around you is falling apart. That's when you need it. But there are things I'm realizing that you can find out when things are not falling apart, that will tell you, that will give you some red flags before everything else starts falling apart. You can be like, okay, I think I'm going downhill right now.
Exactly.
You also recognize those sorts of things.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times, and I work with eight physicians, and I wish people would treat their mental well-being the way we treat our physical well-beings. Most of us go to the doctor at least once a year just for a checkup, just to make sure everything is good. Could you imagine if, you know, you've been having this headache for 6 months, you've been throwing up for 3 weeks, you've been, you know, having this back pain for 4 months, and you finally went to the doctor a year later, your doctor and you would think you were absolutely crazy. You know, if you waited that long. Or the opposite of that is, you know, nothing is necessarily hurting you, but you still go to the physician. Why can't we do that with our mental health? Don't prolong things. Like, if something's wrong, you're right, still go. But isn't it a lot easier to go to the physician when there's absolutely nothing wrong? He or she can continue to tell you, great job, or hey, I'm seeing the small signs of this. I want you to look at this. I want you to start this supplement. I want you to take this vitamin. Why can't we attack our issues in their infancy stages, as opposed to when they're full grown monsters and it's so much more difficult, you know? So yes, absolutely going to counseling when there's little to nothing going on is a beautiful preventative measure instead of a reactive measure. My life is falling apart. I don't know which way is up. Let me contact somebody. Yes, please. But also, things are great. Let me contact somebody. There's nothing wrong with that.
That's so good. So we can encourage everyone that's listening, find a counselor. But since I'm saying that, how do people find a counselor? What does that look like? How do you choose one? What's a good counselor? How do you know?
Oh, I love it. I love it. So there are definitely different platforms out there for everyone to find a counselor. What I generally get is, well, first, I'll back up. If you have insurance, please, please, please turn over the back of your insurance card, call that number, and they will give you a listing of mental health providers in your area. First and foremost, many people can go through their human resources department. And a lot of folks will be surprised on when they check on their EAP, which means employee assistance programs. A lot of people's jobs offer free counseling services. Usually it's about 5 or 6 sessions that they'll offer for free. If that is not an option for you to where you've called your HR department, they don't offer it, or you don't have insurance, that's completely fine. I like to go to Psychology Today, www.psychologytoday.com, click on Find a Therapist, and it's the same thing. It'll ask you for your zip code, and on the left side of the screen, you can contour it to say, I want, you know, someone who speaks Spanish, or I want someone who is a Christian. I want someone who, you know, has a specialty in women's health, or I love that website. Google is not a bad thing. Asking around is not a bad thing. I've had some great referrals from just friends of friends, you know, hey, my best friend sees a counselor. Let me see, you know, how she's liking that. There's nothing wrong with word of mouth, opening up and asking a trusted loved one. There are different apps out there. There's just so many different avenues that you can go to. I always tell people that it's an interview process. Don't show up to someone's office and you're not meshing well with them, you don't feel comfortable with them, whatever that is, just as much as you're looking to them to help you, you want to make sure that you're comfortable as well. So if you sit with someone or you have an initial intake, and some counselors, like I do this, to where I spend about 20, 30 minutes on the phone with people, so they can kind of get a good feel for me and the services that I provide. But they're also saying, do I like her? Do I feel comfortable with her? And if not, go on to the next, sweetheart. Like, there's nothing worse than being uncomfortable with someone. So I say definitely interview them, ask around, do some Google searches. I love the Black Girls in Therapy website. They have an Instagram account. They have Facebook accounts. So there's a million different ways. Start with Google. There's a lot of different options.
Those are amazing tools. And this is something that is not talked about very often, you know, to check mm-hmm. back of your insurance card, to go to your HR, because that's what I hear a lot of people saying, well, I don't know. I don't have money for counseling. I don't know about that. But I think two perspectives. One thing that you mentioned before is your mental health is just as important as your physical health. So, you know, investing in your mental health in whatever form that is, whether that's going in for your tune-up or saying, you know, I'm going to make this investment, but knowing that there are resources available for you to get the help that you need. And I say you as the listener, but I also am looking, you know, more into this space and making sure that I also have a place, you know, to go and to talk. Because you'll be surprised that there's a lot of people in counseling, like a lot of people that you wouldn't think are in counseling say that it is the key to their success.
I couldn't agree more. I could not agree more. And let's, you know, talk about the elephant in the room. Counseling is expensive. My services aren't free, but also being open enough to say that there are so many counselors who offer sliding scale fees. Whereas their website may say, okay, $100 a session or $75 a session, whatever that looks like. But they may also say, you know what? I offer a sliding scale fee to where if you just open your mouth and, you know, kick pride aside and say, I really want to explore this, but I don't have the full fee. Some people will give you those discounts. Some people will say, okay, we may not be able to meet, you know, once every week or 2 weeks, but let's check in with one another once a month. Or there's always group therapy. Group therapy is always going to be something that's a lot more inexpensive than individual therapy. I hear the moans and groans about, well, I don't want to open up in front of these strangers. You'd be surprised on how a lot of times when you're in group sessions, just feeling like you're not alone and you're not crazy for thinking or experiencing the things that you're experiencing, how that connection helps. So don't minimize or don't rule out group counseling as well. And for those who say, Rudy, that's cute, that's sweet, I genuinely don't have the money. I have a family. I have, you know, bills. I hear you, sweetheart. I hear you, brother. Look into most people. I think everyone actually has a county services board. So I'm familiar, of course, with the ones in Georgia. If you Google, you know, CSBs, community service boards, those options are free. And they're income based. So a lot of times there'll be different places around town near you that say, hey, every Tuesday night we offer this type of group. Or, you know, once a month we open it up to where you can see a therapist for free or for $5 or $10. You'd be surprised. But having the excuse of, I can't, I don't have the money, I don't let anyone get away with that. Because where there's a will, there's a way. And we can figure it out.
You speak in my language.
It's too important. It's exactly. Way too important.
If you want it, you can get it. And you have given, I mean, diamonds, jewels of information. That I'm over here taking notes. I'm like, I did not know about this. You
know? Yes, there are so many just hidden gems in everyone's county. I don't care where you're listening from. There's so many different opportunities out there. Speaking just from a Christian perspective, I don't believe the Lord is ever going to just have any of us, any of his children, experiencing some sort of turmoil, some sort of problem, and us just having to figure it out on our own. No, whether you're a believer or an unbeliever, no. We live in America where it's not perfect by far. But praise the Lord that we also live in 2020 to where there are so many different options available if you just opened up and asked. A lot of people go through their primary care doctors as well. And that's where you'd be surprised at how much your doctor knows. You really would. So even asking your PCP what they think is a good option as well.
Just gems, dropping gems. I'm going to drop these gems in the little description of this podcast. So if you look for it, you'll have all the links that Rudy mentioned, information that she mentioned, so that you can go and reference that. So thank you for sharing those.
Of course.
Okay, so we are in some unprecedented times. Unprecedented is now our favorite word in, you know, March, April, however long this goes on in 2020 about COVID-19. It's unprecedented. So with this unprecedented time, we are in something that's called, it's a quarantine, meaning we're having limited interaction. A lot of people are not going into the office unless they are deemed quote unquote essential. So we've got a lot of people that are working remotely or they're interacting with significantly less people than they were interacting with on a day-to-day basis. So with that, with this idea of us being so socially distant from each other, what tips do you have? How can we keep our mental health together? Because if you're used to being surrounded by people all the time, and all of a sudden the only person you're surrounded by is yourself, that's a little bit different, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. I think it's one thing to specifically isolate or just say, you know what, I need a moment. Whereas when you're told to isolate or you're told to, you know, distance yourself, that's a whole different ball game. So there's definitely lots of things that I have been talking to people about in the last couple weeks as far as, yes, life as we know it for all of us all over the world has drastically changed. We have to get creative because physically and mentally, the body, the mind was not meant to be in isolation. There's lots of unhealthy manifestations of just different things that can happen when you isolate for prolonged periods of time. So we got to get creative, right? Whether that is making sure that we're really, really taking advantage of technology. Please get your rest. Please do all the things. Take care of the responsibilities that you have to. But it's also being intentional, making sure that you're picking up the phone, that you're checking on loved ones, that you're being vulnerable and open and transparent about how you're feeling. That's a huge thing. A lot of times we don't realize we're stressed until it gets out of hand and it starts impacting our day-to-day lives and it's really upfront and in our faces. The way to avoid things like that is doing what we're doing right now, honestly, just talking. A lot of people don't realize how hugely significant that interaction between you and another human being is. It's healthy. Your body, your mental well-being, your mind was not meant to just hoard, for lack of better words, or hold in all these different emotions. We are in a very trying time in history throughout the entire world. You need to be talking and communing with other people. Yes, you can't have, you know, your 8 best friends come over. Yes, you can't go and, you know, go to the mall and all these stores. But what can you do? I think that's another thing. We're so focused on the list of what we can't do that we forget to focus on, all right, but what can I do? I can FaceTime. I can, you know, Zoom. Everybody keeps talking about Zoom. We can interact through text. I'm loving all of these social media virtual parties that I'm seeing on Instagram and on all the other social outlets, just different things. We're all seeing those beautiful videos of how people are coming out on their porches and their balconies and they're singing together, or they're just getting really, really creative, finding ways consistently to commune with others is key. Please don't do it once a month and think that you're going to be all right. But remember, you as an individual, yes, we have our own personalities. Some people need it more or less than others, but we have to make sure that we're having some sort of interaction with another person or persons on a routine basis. I was talking to one of my clients 2 nights ago, and she said, you know, Rudy, I just got on the phone with 3 of my best girlfriends because she's isolated. She's in another state and she's away from friends and family. And she said, we just talked. We just talked for about 30, 45 minutes. And I didn't realize how much I needed that. You know, we're all looking at the news and we're all seeing these horrific, sad stories. I didn't realize how much I just needed to turn off the news and just hear a familiar face, allow them to get my mind off of what's going on in the world and just feel some sense of normalcy for 30 minutes. That did wonders for her. And she's no exception to the rule. That does wonders for all of us. What can you do in your day, small things that you can do in your day-to-day coming and goings that you know you need? Asking yourself that, picking up that phone, sending that text message, setting up the Zoom calls. I know personally, me and my girlfriends, 2 Sundays ago, we set up a Zoom call and I was teasing them because I thought, you know, this is super professional, but we were all just laughing and talking and just to be able to see their faces. When we sat on that Zoom call for, I want to say 3 hours, just laughing. We need that. We need to feel a sense of being human. We need that sense of normalcy. We need that sense of, I'm not alone. There are other people going through this, and I need to feel that. I need to experience that. So those are definitely just some things that I have been recommending. Please take advantage of, you know, what you normally do. Pick up that book that you've been meaning to read. Start that blog. I love, there's some horrible memes going around, but there are also some really, really good memes that are going around as well. So just being creative starting that puzzle, whatever that looks like. What are those things that you've been putting off for years? How can you do it? What are those relationships? Who are those people, healthy people, that you're like, you know what? I haven't spoken to her in 2 months. I haven't spoken to her in 2 years. Let me send that text message. Again, healthy. Don't be calling the ex. Don't do that. But, you know, things like that, just being super creative, but also very consistent and intentional about taking care of you. You know what you need.
Yeah, key phrase, healthy. Reach out to those healthy individuals.
Keyword healthy. Yes. And another thing about healthy, with that being said, I know we all want to stay up to date and we all want to stay in the know as far as the news is concerned. Watching the news for hours upon hours is not a good thing. Whether you say, well, you know what, I can take it. I love politics. I love, you know, I want to know what's going on all over the world. That is absolutely understandable. But again, remember what you're taking in consistently impacts you whether you realize it or not. It impacts you unconsciously more than you think. So if you're seeing all these sad stories, if you're seeing all these people die and all these hospital reports, nothing wrong with staying abreast and up to date and what's going on in the world. But I am telling everyone, including myself, all right, once you know, once you've been updated on a daily basis, turn that off. Go do something. Introduce something into your mind that is relaxing, that you enjoy doing. Catch up on that movie. Watch that old movie that you haven't seen in ages. Making sure that as much as you're talking to people and you're reaching out to those healthy relationships, that you're also doing healthy things as well. You know, like the books, the magazines, watching the accounts that you're looking at. You know, we have to be careful with on social media. We follow a lot of people. You know, are those people, are those accounts necessarily good for me? When I'm reading these things, am I walking away uplifted or educated, or am I walking away sad? Am I walking away in fear? Am I walking away with more doubts? You know? So also being mindful of the activities that you're doing on a day-to-day basis as well. Making sure that those are healthy things as well.
Yeah. I also like that you touched on this earlier in your last comment about regardless of your personality type. You know, mm-hmm. people are really into, I'm an extrovert, I'm an introvert, I'm this on the Enneagram scale, I'm this on the Myers-Briggs, like this is who I am. But mm-hmm. too, everybody needs socialization, like regardless of what you've classified yourself as. Mm-hmm. So I'm just wondering, like for those that have classified themselves in a certain way, you know, are we kind of putting ourselves in a box and in a way that might not be healthy for us in the way that we are dealing with this quarantine, right? Mm-hmm. If I say, oh, I'm already an introvert, so, you know, I'm used to not talking to people. And it's kind of like, well, even introverts need to.
Yes.
Or, you know, extroverts, maybe being around people all the time is another sign or another manifestation of something else that might be unhealthy in you, in your approach to things. So, yeah, what are your thoughts on that whole, the classification?
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more with you. I think we're two really good examples of that too, Rumi. Like I am naturally an introvert. So when I'm getting the text messages or the phone calls and people are saying, how are you? How is this quarantine for you? I enjoy solitude naturally. However, I love how you talked about Enneagrams and Myers-Briggs and all the, you know, numbers and letters and classifications that we attach our identities to, which is a whole nother podcast, by the way. We'll talk about that another time. But
I'll bring you back, know, don't worry.
Right? But I think that's such a good question and such a good thing to talk about, to where, again, you are more than the number. So yes, that it's healthy to know what you need and what you like and how you flow. But it's also just a good time to say, okay, outside of me liking a lot of contact with other people, or the exact opposite, liking minimal contact with other people, am I getting that? I think we have to check in with ourselves and say, what am I needing? What haven't I gotten this week or today that I need to be consistent and getting? So yes, if you never like being around 50 people, then you're probably not going to like it now. However, have you checked in with that best friend, introvert? Have you, you know, checked in with your parents, introvert, extrovert? Have you sent that mass text? And even taking away the introvert, extrovert, Enneagram 2, 9, 8, 7, all the things, it's, hey, person, hey, being, hey, individual, have you done the thing? Have you contacted the person or people that make you feel good, that know you, that love you, that care for you? So aside from extroverts versus introverts, or this identity versus that identity, they're all great and they have their places. But let's not forget us as individuals who were creatively, distinctively you. How are you doing as a person? What are you needing? And I think a lot of times we get so consumed and caught up with, number one, the day-to-day things, getting this done, that done, and taking care of this person, checking on this person, that we sometimes, especially as women, especially, you know, those mamas out there, those wives out there, we're so inundated with taking care of all these other people that we've somehow forgotten to slow down and say, wait a minute, how am I doing? What am I needing? Who do I need to just unleash, excuse me, not unleash, but unload on? So regardless of personality, likes, dislikes, just who you are or what group you identify with, it's, let's shed those classifications for just a moment and say, how's Rudy doing? How's Casey doing? And even if you're not quite sure what that looks like, call that trusted person, just have a general conversation. And as you talk about just things that are on your heart, you're going to begin to see, all right, you know what? I really am doing well. Or, you know, maybe I'm not, because I didn't realize I was holding that in. I wasn't holding that thing in. Even for those people who are saying, Rudy, all the stuff that you're saying is cute, but I don't have time. I've gotten a lot of comments and just feedback from a lot of people who are saying, listen, some of these people are quarantined and they're single, or there's one or two people in their homes and they have these beautiful opportunities to read that book, write that blog, you know, watch 8 movies. I don't have that time, Rudy. So how can I take care of myself? Hey, mama of 5, hey, single woman, hey, girl or man who, you know, still has to report to work because you are considered essential. You don't get a pass either. We have to find creative ways for you to check in with yourself as well, because if not, that is going to catch up to you. That stressor will get bigger and bigger, and it will impact you in such unhealthy ways to where you're no good to yourself and you're no good to others. And you're no good to yourself as well, if that makes sense. So I know I kind of meshed your question into some other things, but yeah, I think ultimately it's checking in with yourself. And when I mean checking in, I'm saying taking that moment to say, how am I doing? How am I feeling? What are my thoughts in this moment, and addressing it accordingly, if that makes sense, you know?
That's so powerful. That question that you said, what haven't I gotten this week? Mm-hmm. Taking time to ask yourself what you need. I will admit that I'm one of those people that like doesn't realize they're stressed until they are like past the point of stress. It's just, you know, like I go, and then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, this is not working. And like, at what point did it stop working? I don't even know. So having that question to ask yourself, like, I'm thinking about putting that on a post-it note somewhere in my house, or, you know, saying, putting a reminder on my phone to do a self check-in of how am I doing in this quarantine? And then once we get out of the quarantine, how am I doing on a daily basis, yeah. on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis?
Absolutely. I think, because I'm the same way, like I have so many things going on. But again, if you haven't checked in with yourself in God knows how long, that's a clear indication that you're probably doing the most. Or we need to rearrange some priorities. I'm not saying quit that job. I'm not saying turn down all the opportunities. What I am saying is if the opportunities are coming before you, we have a problem. We have a problem. So if you can look back on the last, depending on who you are, some people can do it daily. Some people need to do it weekly or whatever. But if you look back on the last couple of days or weeks and you can say, I don't know when's the last time I checked in with myself, but I can tell you all the things that I completed. I can tell you all the things that I crossed off of my to-do list. Wonderful. Congratulations. That's lovely. However, if you can list your accomplishments or the actions far more than you can tell me about just you as a being, we have an issue. We have an issue. We need to rearrange you and put you at the top of your priority list. And then the things comes next. Because remember, if you're operating in this go, go, go mentality, if you're operating in this robotic type of, I've got to do this, I've got to do this, I've got to do this, you're not a machine. Your body is not equipped to go and go and go. I promise you, it will catch up to you sooner or later. And a lot of times it's in stress and it's in a lot, it's breakdowns. It's your personality changes. Your sleep is impacted. Your eating habits are impacted. Those around you are saying, are you all right? You have been acting like yourself. That's a clear indication. So absolutely. Check in, check in, check in. Especially during these times is of utmost importance.
Well, I think that you have convicted the majority of the people that are going to listen to this podcast.
I'm just saying.
We're all like, oh my gosh, my priorities are trash. I don't even have priorities.
No. It's, and I know it's, as we get older and we start adding things to our life, like marriage and jobs and children, and it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I think people misconstrue it as, well, I feel so selfish if I put myself first. What do you mean put myself first? What do you mean checking with myself? I got to make this breakfast for these babies. I got to, you know, do this for my husband. I have to be a great this, sweetheart, sweet man, brother, sister. If you are doing all those things, again, if you're doing the things and not putting yourself first, eventually your body will make you put yourself first in the form of exhaustion, in the form of, you know, just being fatigued, in the form of being irritable. You're not your best self. You're going to eventually start running on fumes. So I hate this pandemic. It is horrible. It is atrocious. It is all the things, but here's some beauty in it. Here's some interesting things about that. In this, even if you don't have all the time, even if you're still having to report to work, it's still an interesting place to be in the world, because it's highlighting some things in our lives that either need to get some more attention or need to not hold as much importance in our lives, if that makes sense. I know with this change in my personal life, I'm thinking, okay, now that that has been changed or I can no longer do that thing, I'm realizing that it had less significance or less, it didn't have as much importance. So even now reflecting on what matters, what doesn't matter, what's important, what isn't important is an interesting thing that I believe this pandemic is showing all of us, if you let it.
I 100% agree. When I saw you, you know, probably a month ago, I was talking about how I needed to figure out how to rest and what rest looked like for me.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I will say that this pandemic has caused me to figure out what that is.
Right?
When everything is canceled, it was very tempting for me to then fill that space and say, oh, okay. So now I don't have to be on flights multiple times this week. Okay, now I'm going to do this, 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 and this. I'm going to get on every potential Zoom call. I'm going to get on everybody's live stream. I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. And I say, you know what? And I started out that way and I was working insane hours. And I said, you know, if this happens to last only 2 weeks, I was very naive at that point. If it only lasts, will I, and this is the only opportunity that I get to rest, would I take that rest or would I not? And I decided to take the rest. And so I've been like burning my candles. I've been doing my workout videos. Like I've been doing things, reading books that I have been wanting to read, just allowing myself to not feel the pressure to fill all the time. And that was a shock to my system. But then at that point, I was like, wow, I just feel rested. Like I feel very centered and I don't feel as like, oh gosh, I have to be doing this, 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 and this.
Right. And that is a definition of having a healthy regard to your mental well-being. It's saying, I could do this, but I need to do this. What is best for me as a whole being and person in this moment? You can. Like, I love how I'm seeing on social media, there's so many different opportunities and so many different agencies and organizations offering all these free things and take this class, learn how to do this, tour this. Those are great. But do you need to do it at this moment? Is it beneficial? What is your body telling you? Our bodies, I don't care what you believe or who you believe in, all of us have these minds that are just so intricately operating. And it's telling you what it needs. And sometimes it's, you know what? I know that I can get on this Zoom call, like you said, and learn this new interesting thing. But right now, I need to take a nap. Right now, I need to just be with my loved ones. Right now, I just need to sit and watch this, you know, this Trolls movie for the 80th time with my three-year-old. You know, what matters in this moment? I've been having conversations with just different people. And in 60 years and 50 years, when our grandchildren or the neighbor next door who, you know, will be born in 2050 says, hey, tell me about 2020. What was going on? Like, what are you going to tell them? Will you tell them that it was horrendous? I was in constant fear. I was in, you know, I was in constant turmoil. What will be your story? And not that I want people to have a story to tell so it'll be cool for the grandkids, but I want people to be able to, intentionally say, this is what I did with the time. This is how intentional I was. This is how I helped myself. This is how I helped other people. You know, who cares that you learned a different language if by at the end of all of this, you're too stressed out anyway to actually execute that different language. You should have been resting. You should have been, you know, taking advantage of whatever, however this time looks for you. So I love that you had that realization. I think we all need to sit and say, okay, I can do this. I am able to do this thing, but what do I need to do in this moment? And just in relaxing, taking that nap, picking up that book is just as fulfilling as creating this thing. You know, it just really depends on you and what you need in that moment.
100%. It was a tough lesson, but now I said, you know, now that I've learned it, now that I've learned what rest feels like and what it feels like to not be in that constant state of rushing, I'm now way more conscious of once we come out of this, how I'm going to structure my day, my week, my years, so that I can make sure that I'm still putting myself first in whatever stage of life.
Absolutely. And that's what it's about. You can fill your days, pandemic or no pandemic, you can fill your days with a whole bunch of stuff that at the end of the day, you know, you can say, yep, I did this, I did this, I did that. But was it meaningful? was it in your best interest? Or you can say, you know what, I took my time. I was intentional about picking out what I wanted to do throughout my day, and I feel so much more fulfilled. I feel like I have a personal sense of accomplishment, a personal sense of, yeah, I like the way this thing ended for me. I like the way life is going for me. And you can't do that. You can't rationally and logically do that if you're filling your day from A to Z with things all the time. You have no room to actually sit and check in with yourself. You don't. But I think when you're intentional about, I'm not going to do this, but I am going to do that, it gives you a sense of slowing down. It gives you a sense of, okay, I need to be present. I need to figure out what's going on around me. And then I can make a conscious decision about what my days need to look like, what's important to me. So I love that. I think so many times we equate busyness to fulfillment or busyness to success, even in this pandemic. No. Success is what you make. Success is what's important to you. Success is what is meaningful to you. But it doesn't always look like, you know, work, 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 make this money, get this thing, put this thing out. No. That's not it.
Real. It's real. And that's the pressure that is, I think, perceived by a lot of people, is that I have to be using all of my time well. And that means that I have to be productive. And it's not productive to take a nap. It's not productive to watch TV. It's not productive to read a fiction book, is what I think a lot of people perceive based on posts on social media, things that they see on the news, on the internet, all of that. But I've had to even change my perspective and say that doing nothing is okay. And taking a nap is okay. And reading something that doesn't add anything to my life except entertainment, that's okay. I don't have to always be learning something from a nonfiction book.
Exactly. And it's not nothing. When you take a nap, that's not, I did nothing. That's, I rested. I allowed my body to get rejuvenated. I think if we realize the huge impacts that lack of sleep, lack of rest, if you really realized how poorly you're operating when you don't have the bare necessities that your body needs, I think we take that a little more seriously. When you're running on fumes, when you've gotten 4 hours of sleep, and I think we sensationalize this and we say, oh yes, she is moving and shaking. She is, you know, burning the candle at both ends. That should not be celebrated. That should be looked down upon. There's something to be said for, you know, when that has to happen. And, you know, there's a maybe small portions of our lives to where, you know, that student is working two jobs and trying to get through college. Okay, I understand that. But overall, that is a horrendous, very unhealthy way of approaching life. When you say, I don't need sleep, I should be doing this. No. Your brain isn't even operating at its fullest potential because it's trying to shut down and you're pressuring it to move forward. You're not even retrieving the information that you're trying to take in at 100% because your brain is saying, we need to shut down. We need to rejuvenate. We need to reset. And you're forcing it to do something that it's not meant to be doing in that moment. You know, think about the last time, you know, when we go on vacation and we come back so rested. You're at your best self, you know? So why can't we implement that more than one time a year out of a week, or a week out of a year? We shouldn't be doing that. It should be such a priority to say, you know what? I'm going to shut this thing down and I'm going to go take this nap. I'm going to get these 8 hours of sleep. I'm going to, you know, shut down this presentation and go make some cookies. Your body needs it. Your mental well-being needs it. If all you're doing is filling your days with responsibilities over and over and over again, you really are damaging your body. You're damaging your brain. It's not healthy. And it starts having physical manifestations. You're not yourself. you're lacking energy. Like I said before, you're fatigued. The people around you probably notice it. You're less patient. You're not yourself. You're not yourself. So even in this time of, you know, it's this pandemic, however your life looks, however it's been altered, reshaped, stopped, whatever that looks like for each individual listening, I think it's very, very important to ask yourself, okay, life is forcing me to make some rearrangements. What does that look like in a healthy way? In an intentional and consistent way? Because we don't know how long this, hopefully it won't last long. But you know what? If we're here next month, 2 months from now, God forbid, 3 months from now, at least be consistent and intentional with maintaining a healthy mindset. And it starts right now, asking yourself those questions.
That's beautiful. You've given us so many incredible tools, tips, tricks, and even questions for us to ask that I feel like are very countercultural. But mm-hmm. the moment that we can embrace that mindset and embrace the fact that this is where we are, I need to check in with myself. I need to make sure that I'm okay so that I can fully be present in those things that I am now assigned to do, expected to do, want to do.
Yeah.
And if we can embrace that, I feel like our lives would be so much more calm and we would have so much more joy because we're not feeling that pressure, putting that pressure upon ourselves to be something that we were never intended to be anyway.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And another thing, as you were talking, I thought, you know, we're smart, we know ourselves, but sometimes it takes that trusted loved one, that counselor, whoever, to say, you know what? I know you think you may be doing good, but I know I have personal friends. My best friend and all these people who I know, sometimes I don't realize that I'm not doing well. Like you said, sometimes like you go, and it's not until it's almost too late to where you're realizing, oops, wait a minute, we got to do some things differently. But that's where that reaching out, you know, taking the time to sit down and reach out to the other person. Because again, a lot of times we don't realize what we're dealing with until we talk it out. When we talk it out with that trusted loved one and that loved one is asking us questions and we're engaging in conversation, it's so beneficial because sometimes it takes someone else to bring it out of us, you know? So you're right. When we are consistent with even doing the whole check-in, sometimes check-in involves, you know what, let me just call somebody else and have that meaningful engagement to where as I'm listening to them and they're listening to me, we're also taking care of who we are by just engaging in by asking those difficult questions to each other. And by listening to the words that are coming out of our mouths, that's a beautiful way of being intentional, self-reflective, self-aware, all the things. So many benefits of just slowing down, doing the check-ins with yourself and with other people.
Yes, I did not realize that I was a verbal. I've heard it called verbal processing where I'm very much inside my head. Like I think about a lot of stuff. I'm a strategist. Everything's in my brain. But there are times where I can't quite figure out like why I'm feeling a certain way or why something bothers me. And I'll think about it. And I'm like, I don't think I'm quite getting there. And the moment that I start talking about it, it's like all of a sudden things start clicking. I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't even know that I felt this way.
Same.
I had
same.
No idea.
I'm such a processor too, and it's not with everybody. Everyone doesn't need to know your business, but call that person who you trust, or are you a journaler? I have journals all over my house from years and years and years ago up to now, and I journal my thoughts. Some people are just like, Rudy, that's not for me, and that's cool, but some people need to write out their thoughts. I've encountered and met people who said, you know, sometimes I'm better at writing out how I feel than verbalizing it. Girl, do it then. Brother, whoever, do it.
whatever it looks like to get that thing out. Have a multitude of ways in which you address what's going on in your head and in your heart. I agree. I 1,000% agree. I know we were talking so much about reaching out and talking to people and the social aspects of who we are. But some things, you know what? If they need to stay between you and a piece of paper, that's fine. And please don't just isolate. But I think there's something to be said about incorporating what's meaningful to you as a person as well when it comes to addressing how you're feeling. I've met artists who said, I don't know about that journaling thing, but when I'm painting, I'm getting out all of my frustrations. I'm getting out my fears. Or when I'm doing this puzzle, that's how I'm, and they say that, but I'll ask them, well, how often are you doing it? And they'll say once a month. Let me get this straight. So there's something that you love doing and it's cathartic and it's all the things, but you only do it once a month. In this time of however your life looks, making sure that whatever those good, healthy things are that you like, whether it's talking to the best friend, journaling, painting, scrapbooking, whatever, however you like to get things out, making sure that you're doing that consistently as well. And by consistently, I don't mean once every month. I don't mean once every 2 weeks. You know what that engagement looks like as well. So that's one thing as you were talking, I thought, oh, we're talking so much about the social aspect of this, but there's also a personal aspect that needs to be talked about and needs to be addressed as well.
Oh yeah. I have some journals that I'm not a person that goes back and rereads journals, mostly because I'm like, I know what I was going through at that time and I don't want to reflect on that. But I'm definitely a journaler. Before I was very inconsistent with it. Mm-hmm. But now I've kind of found a rhythm in my search for what rest and peace look like. I started journaling every day as kind of a part of my prayer and meditation practice. And it's been really good. And it's not always super deep. Sometimes it's a few lines and other times like pages upon pages. But that even was me laying down this thought of what perfect journaling looks like, you know, how much time it has to take and how it should look. It's just whatever works for you works
exactly
for you.
Couldn't agree more. I'm the girl who needs just a whole bunch of blank pages. And sometimes I'll journal for 2 minutes. Sometimes I'll journal for 2 hours. Sometimes I will turn my entire house into a spa and I'll light the candles. I'll have nice dim lighting and I'll have beautiful music playing in the background. And sometimes it's me on my bathroom floor in the midst of crazy clutter journaling. I've talked to other people who said, I don't need that clean slate. I need prompts. So there's also something to be said about Googling journal prompts. And there's so many different and free websites out there to where they'll give you different questions to ask yourself. I don't need that. That personally drives me crazy. But for those of you who are saying, you know, I don't know where to start. Like you said, Casey, I think you bring up a great point. There's something out there for everyone. So for that person who says, I'd love to journal, where do I start? Start wherever you want, whether you need the topic or not. And I love the way you said it doesn't have to look a specific way. It looks however you want it to look in the moment that you're looking for it. It really does. Make it your own. Whatever you do, make it your own. It should be relaxing more than it should be stressful. If it's adding to your stress, we got a problem. And another thing that you mentioned when you said, I don't usually look at journals from the past that I want to relive that. Yeah, I've definitely gotten that before, but I also think it's a beautiful, beautiful opportunity to see how far you've come. And also if you have actually picked up some bad habits, continue some bad habits, I think it's a great way of being self-aware whenever the time permits, if the desire is there to actually pick up and look at those past journals. But yeah, I love it. I love how you said that. That's such a great point of making it your own and it doesn't have to look or be a certain way.
All right, counselor. I guess I'll check out some past ones at some point.
Please let me know. No, I'm kidding.
I'll let you know when I'm on a in a puddle of tears and be like, you made me read this.
And I'm going to be like, what did you learn? No pressure.
Rudy, this has been so amazing. So, so amazing. I have topics that I still want to get into with you, but we're just going to do a separate episode where we talk about those things. And you are just a wealth of knowledge. I so appreciate you taking the time to share your professional expertise and giving us tangible things that everyone that walks away from this podcast can implement immediately. You have given us relevant information for the time right now, but it's also information that can be taken in any context. So we can listen to this a year from now, gain new insights, implement again. So it's timeless information that you shared with us. And I thank you for joining. I thank you for, again, sharing your expertise, for your honesty, for checking us in the best way possible, snatching our edges in the best way possible.
Oh, I love it. Thank you. Thank you for having me. I so enjoyed this. This was awesome. So yeah, I learned a lot too, just in listening to myself. I'm just like, oh, okay, you better practice what you preach, sister. So thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed every moment of it.
You're welcome. So Rudy, for those of you, for those that are listening and they say, Rudy sounds like my type of person. She sounds like she could be my counselor. I want to unload on her. I know that she does. She's got to do virtual counseling right now. So how do I work with Rudy? How do I connect with Rudy on social media? What would you say to them?
Sure. So on social media, I am not on all of the platforms, but I am pretty active on Instagram. So you can find me at Rudy_Maria_. That's R-U-D-I. Yes, just like Rudy Huxtable. It's Rudy_Maria. That's M-A-R-I-A underscore, if I'm not mistaken. If not, I'll have you put this at the bottom in the comment
we'll
section on your podcast.
We'll put it there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good, because I'd never remember. Otherwise, definitely you can visit my website, and that is bygracecounselingllc.com. Again, bygracecounselingllc.com, and we can definitely chat and figure out the next steps. I'd love to hear from you.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Rudy. I will again link all of her information and the tools that she shared in the show notes. So depending on where you're listening, just look for the more info section and I will link all of that information there. So again, thank you so much, Rudy. And my information, I would love to connect with you all as well. So caseysharperson.com. And you can also search for my name on all social media platforms. I'm the only Casey Sharperson in the world. So I would love to connect with you all there as well. If you do have some time and you want to read, just like Rudy mentioned, you can check out Dream, Build, Repeat book again on Amazon or caseysharperson.com. So I look forward to connecting with you all. I look forward for you all connecting with my roomie, Rudy.
And my roomie, Casey.
Yes. So thank you so much for joining us. Thanks for listening. And Rudy, I will chat with you soon.
Sounds good. Bye.
Bye.